You are listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.
All right, here comes the theme music. Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
I don't know why I decided to do it that way.
Because it's raining outside, and we can see the rain through the window.
It's all foggy.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and not enjoying the city when it rains.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit, and simpler living. And today, Airbnb.
That's right.
Nah, just kidding. Film by bike.
We're in the room with Aileen Crotty.
Howdy.
Famous for being the person in charge, is it fair to say the headmistress of Film by Bike?
Sure. I usually just say the director.
The director of Film by Bike.
Yeah.
Should we do that again?
No.
Okay.
That's good.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
We are drinking beverages that we acquired from guess where?
I believe it's the Beer Mongers.
That's right. The Beer Mongers.
Located at 11th, 10th?
10th.
10th.
No,
12th. 11th, 12th. Between 10 and 12 on Division.
Well, you know
there
what?
There goes our sponsorship.
But then it's easy to find if you go to thebeermongers.com.
There you go.
So I'll
and
just
it's
put that
the
out
northbound
there.
Street of the couplets.
Yes.
So that must be 12.
Yes, away from the train tracks.
Because I always see it as I'm headed north.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great spot, especially on a night like tonight when it's just a little bit drizzly out. There were a lot of people just kind of taking refuge in this cozy little spot.
I bet. Yeah.
And again, somewhat full, but there's always a seat for you.
At the Beer Mongers.
That's right. Yeah. So let me pop this open here. Aileen, what do you have there?
Well, I'm really excited because you guys bought me one of my favorite beers. I'm
drinking the Beer Mongers bought you one of your favorite
beer
beers.
Beer Mongers, and you guys put it on my chair for me. This is the 2015 La Folie. It's a wood-aged sour ale from New Belgium from their Lips of Faith series. If you like sours, this is a delightful but yet big beer.
It's a brown, right?
Yeah, it's a sour brown. I just think it's tasty and intense and exciting. It's like one of those exciting beers. And it's a big beer, it's 7%, but it doesn't feel heavy. It doesn't have that like gut heaviness of a lot of beers.
Right.
It's good. It's also a good sipping beer because it is kind of powerful and the flavor is so intense. A little goes a long way, just like on your palate, not even considering the alcohol aspect.
So. And you only have a little.
I have a big beer here.
So did I ever tell you about the time when we were in Fort Collins? Our friend the professor, he's actually coming in June.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be a guest on our show, which
Holy
is cool.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wait, will you even be here for this?
I will be here for this.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't miss the professor's. It's Aaron Levanchy. I don't know if you've heard that name or not, but I forget what his job is. I think he forgot what his job was. Yeah, but he works for them as some sort of like cultural liaison or something. But he gave us our tour when we went down there in 2012, and then he bought us a bunch of beers. Or I guess again, not buying it's because he works there. He just like knew where the taps were and was like, "Here, have some beer." So I fell in love with one of their Lips of Faith series, the Coco Mole, which is chocolatey and spicy. It's great.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah, and so he sent us away with, I think he gave me two of those bomber bottles, like 44 ounces in all of Coco Mole. And of course, at the end of the next day, we had just climbed 3,000 feet, so I drank all of them. And it was great. We were squatting in a campground that was like closed. We got there too late to pay for our camping site, but then they put us out in the shit camping anyways. So we just kind of like camped there and then left the next morning. But we only got 3 miles because then I got altitude sickness, I think.
Oh.
And I blame that not on the beer because the beer was fantastic. I blame that on myself and my lack of restraint.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah, I am drinking, haven't figured out if it's a big ale or Abigail, but it's from 6 Point Sick Liquids out of Brooklyn. So straight out of Brooklyn.
Nice. And it's
tasty.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Yeah. And you have
The old standby,
your traditional,
the Portland ginger brew, handcrafted ginger elixir. It's like a half kombucha, half ginger beer.
That's right.
Made by the people who also brought Lionheart.
Lionheart.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that before. That sounds tasty.
Oh, it is. It is.
Mm. Oh. Yeah. Well, hey, can I share with you, before we get into the film by bike stuff, I inspiration hit me on Saturday, I want to say it was.
And you did some tinkering?
I did some, not some tinkering, but I did some poking around on the internet. I went to Amazon and looked at things. I found an Instructables. It's what, Instructables.com or whatever. It's one of those how-to sites.
Okay.
And I thought, like, for a long time, I've really wanted to have a bike sound system because there's all these cool bike sound systems around town. Of all shapes and sizes, but a lot of them are more than just like a boombox or whatever. And there's also, I mean, there's the cool ones that like Eric Iverson rolls with, what is it, like a keyboard mobile amp or something like that?
Is
runs on
Roland?
Double A batteries.
No way.
Yes.
Lots of double A batteries, right?
But just like six or something. I mean, it's like,
really?
Yeah, and it puts off an amazing amount of
it
sound.
It does.
So,
I was just listening to it just a little while ago.
That's right, yeah. We're going to talk about that later, too. So I was up anyways, like kind of just looking at things, trying to figure out how I might create my own bicycle sound system. And I found a plan for one online. And it just seemed like the right time to pull the trigger. So I ordered a bunch of things from Amazon. And one of the shipments showed up today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so now I have a little, it's a cute little power amp. And the volume knob glows blue when you turn it on.
Cool.
I have a battery that's coming at some point. So we'll see how that works out. I'm pretty sure it's going to work out pretty well. And now I've been thinking today, I was distracted all day about how to mount all the various components. I have some some free speakers that I found, so they're not the best, but I think they'll fit nicely on my tall bike and maybe on my regular bike.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to work out how to kind of like assemble all of these in a portable fashion so I can just plug an iPod into it and then, you know, roll it around town.
All right.
I think the optimum situation would be that I could put it on all of my bikes so that I could just ride to work in the morning. Because I work, I start work at like 7, so I'm starting to bike in around 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to turn on that stereo and just like ride it through all the neighborhoods that I go through and just like have my music on.
As you ride to work early in the morning?
Because I'm not really going to disturb anybody. I'm like zipping past their houses. There's no traffic, that sort of thing. And then I'll have beautiful music.
Yeah.
It'll be beautiful
to me. You're kind of doing a public service.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
However, there's also the noise pollution thing that we had talked about in an earlier episode. I don't want to bring anybody down at that time in the morning. So maybe it's best just to start with strapping it to the tall bike and taking it out for special events.
Well, I'll say, you know, people hearing this may have a vision in their head of what the average person who rocks a mobile sound system on a bike looks like. I kind of thought I did. I'd seen a lot of the guys around town who do this.
Yeah.
And then yesterday my mind was blown at Sunday Parkways there were an amazing number of people rocking mobile sound systems who were above 45, often women, and acting like it was no big deal that they had big sound coming from their bikes.
Just doing their thing.
It was incredible all day yesterday. And, you know, there's some, I don't know, 10,000 people out there. And most of the time when I heard big music and looked over, it was like a lady, maybe even above 50. And that was incredible.
That's great.
That was really cool to see.
I'm trying to figure out how I missed that because I went on Sunday Parkways yesterday as well. But I realized that yesterday you can go to Sunday Parkways and not see people you know because, like you said, there's 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 9-mile course or something like that? It's a big circuit out there in East Portland. This is the first one.
Well, and if you get into a rhythm, like you could – you and your best friend could never see each other because you're in this sort of parallel orbit.
Yes, if you were rotating in the same direction.
Yeah, and I mean, all traffic sort of travels in generally the same speed on the Sunday Parkways.
And, you know, you sometimes wind up traveling with some other people just because of that.
Yeah.
So I traveled with the mayor.
Oh, look at you.
And the first lady.
We saw the mayor yesterday. I was riding with some folks and we saw the mayor and they were like, hey, you should stop and talk to him. And I was like, well, what would I say? I really didn't know.
You should say, hey, you want to ride my bike?
How does it feel to be embroiled in controversy? Which is a good question for any mayor anytime, I think.
You just start off a conversation there.
If you run for mayor, you're asking for trouble, I think.
Yeah, you're asking for trouble. But I will say the mayor rolled up to the Film by Bike booth at Sunday Parkways.
Nice.
And First Lady Nancy said, what can we do for the festival?
Really?
And we had been talking about having the mayor come and kick off our opening night. And so we made the deal happen.
That's
and
pretty cool.
We figured out all the details today. But basically, the mayor of Portland will be kicking off Film by Bike this year. And they were out riding the whole day. That was cool to see. It was a beautiful day to be out riding in Portland.
So. Is the mayor going to like cut a giant ribbon with a giant pair of scissors or something like that?
I don't know.
That'd be fun.
I hadn't thought about that. We should get a big
from
film
forth,
clapper and he can like...
This day will be called Film by Bike Day.
That's like Mayor Sam Adams, I think, inaugurated August as Trek in the Park month.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Except I think
he said July.
The year that it was in August. So.
Yes.
Yeah. But maybe that was the anticipation. Anyways, again, mayors embroiled in controversy. So
always.
Sunday Parkways, for anybody who hasn't been there, is it's kind of like the Ciclovia any other event where streets are shut down and people move themselves about. They ambulate themselves by human power.
I kind of glanced on the Twitter because I couldn't participate in the Sunday Parkways. And San Francisco was doing one similar. I can't remember what they called it now.
Oh.
But on that very same day. Yesterday.
Really?
Yesterday.
Well, that's cool.
Sunday, do they call it Sunday Streets?
Maybe.
That's what a lot of people call it.
Okay.
Sunday Streets.
That sounds about right.
It's descriptive. It seems like, that'll work.
Anyway, it's a pretty amazing event,
I'd say. How many Film by Bike booths were there yesterday?
It's just one.
Okay.
Well, it was two tents, but yeah.
Yeah.
We've never been out there before because we used to be in April. And now that we're in May, there was a Sunday Parkways right before Film by Bike.
Oh, that's right.
Out. So super fun to be out there. We had a bunch of volunteers working the booth, and we got to tell a ton of people about Film by Bike. So
yeah.
That was cool.
I was riding high as I rode past, and one of the volunteers at the booth passed up a card and a sticker to me, and I looked at it after I had passed by, and I was like, oh, I like Film by Bike, but it was too late for me to actually connect. So I'm glad they were there, but this is the sort of thing that people need to know about. And why do people need to know about this, Aileen? Because there are some things that are different this year.
Yeah, there are some great things. So Film My Bike features the world's best bike movies in curated programs that travel all around the world. And we should talk more about that later because that's kind of a new development for us.
Okay.
But we always have this big festival, film festival here in Portland every spring. It's always been in April. The last 10 years or so. This year we're going to be in May. It was the only date we could get at the Hollywood Theater because they're very booked up.
Yeah.
And we're at the Hollywood Theater, so...
That's new.
That's new for us. We've always been at the Clinton Street Theater for the past 10 years anyway.
Yeah.
This is our 13th year, and the Hollywood Theater asked us if we'd like to try doing the film festival at their venue, and I've really been in awe of what this theater is doing over the last few years. They're under new ownership. They've got a really creative crew of people. The place is always booked. And it's not just movies. It's a beautiful old restored movie house that has events and music and I don't know, everything going on there. So
I love its architecture.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The building itself is beautiful. And it has a beautiful historic marquee that was restored just in the past couple of years. Is that right?
Yeah. Kickstarter funded, I think, too.
Okay.
So they did some big campaign to fund that. So.
There's also a new apartment building that was built right next door to it. And it was in danger, I think, of overshadowing it. But the marquee, now that it's restored, makes it stick out. And so it seems as historic as it ever did.
Yeah, it's great. And they are so supportive and excited. They're super excited that Film by Bike is there. And to me, that's really important because we are, you know, we're a big event. It's a big undertaking. And to know that our venue is supportive of what we're doing is huge. So
yeah,
we'll be Memorial Day weekend coming up in a couple weeks. We're also partnering with Velocult Bike Shop and Tavern, which
awesome.
Is just a block from the theater. So all of our auxiliary events will happen there. We've got a filmmaker lounge or festival lounge all weekend long. So from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., you can go get a nice pour-over coffee, a kombucha, a craft beer. Now they make sandwiches there.
Yeah.
So you can get food and drink and hang out and meet the filmmakers. So we'll have our filmmakers hanging out at the lounge all weekend long, too.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
The sandwiches, by the way, are great.
I haven't tried one yet, but
I had no idea they made sandwiches.
Just brand new.
They're actually contracted out to the deli across the street. You know, there's that building that says like they have like 18 different industries in this one building. It's antiques and bakery and post office.
Yeah, I always just passed it off as like an antique shop.
Well, there's a deli back there.
If you're a local, a Hollywood local, it's known as The Station.
Ah.
We are getting to know Hollywood.
Yeah, we are.
I am so excited. That is a cool... I was the volunteer coordinator at the Hollywood Farmers Market in around 2000.
Oh, really?
And then I haven't done anything in that neighborhood since then, but I've always had a real fondness for that neighborhood. It's a unique Portland neighborhood with a lot... It's the smallest, I think.
Smallest neighborhood?
Portland neighborhood.
Really?
Smallest of like the ones that have a retail district.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a tiny neighborhood, but a lot of heart and soul in that neighborhood. So
yeah.
It's exciting to be there.
Well, for a long time, that was where I wanted to move to because I when I first moved here, I lived at school and that was like 4 years or something. And then I moved to Vancouver because it was cheap and I knew people there. And then I moved back to Portland and I was looking like, you know, for years thinking like, oh, if I moved back to Portland, I would totally move to the Hollywood neighborhood. Or the district, because it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I never made it there, but maybe someday. Maybe film by bike. Maybe that'll be the point at which I decide I am buying one of these new condos.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's a super cool spot. Just to put one more plug in for those sandwiches, the VC Club, which I believe stands for Velo Cult Club Sandwich, avocado and bacon. So it's a good thing if you like those sorts of things, that combination. Not everybody likes bacon. I happen to. So, anyways, there's that. Are you taking over the entire Hollywood Theater, Aileen?
We're taking over the downstairs main theater on opening night, and then we move to the smaller theaters on our Saturday screenings. So opening night, that'll be exciting. That's a larger venue for us.
Yeah, it's huge.
Typically, we've sold out our opening nights, and so we would love to sell out our opening nights again this year in the bigger venue. It's a holiday weekend. The Friday of Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. So what a perfect way to kick off the holiday weekend. We're going to have our New Belgium Street Party at Velo Cult in their back parking lot.
Yeah.
And that is going to be incredible. We've got a huge stage coming in this year. A great lineup of acts. We've got the Sprockets, which we have not had at Film by Bike since forever. I think we had them once in the early days. The Sprockets will be performing. We have Love Bomb Go-Go. They're a marching band. They're high, high energy, crazy Portland marching band.
Was it Love Bomb Go-Go?
Love Bomb Go-Go.
Nice. And the Sprockets, if anybody doesn't know, they're a dance troupe that features
bikes.
Mini bikes. Yes. In the routines.
We have a baton twirler, a high school baton twirler, baton twirling champion, who will be marching people from the street party to the theater to get there in time for the movies. And again, it's just a block away, but we thought it'd be more fun to go as a parade.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
And then we'll be having slow bike races with New Belgium. And our top act this year is DJ Prashant of Bollywood Dreams. He's amazing. I saw him at Sunday Parkways last summer, and I saw him command a sea of people at Laurelhurst Park and get people of all ages, skin colors, body types, dancing Bollywood style. And
nice.
I thought, I want this guy at Film by Bike. So we booked him to come. He's super cool. He's very, very energetic. And he loves to teach people how to Bollywood dance.
That's great.
So he'll be up there instructing and showcasing his skills. And we've got him as our closing act. So be prepared to come and dance. The event is rain or shine. We'll have some canopies if it's raining. But we're hoping for great weather and getting people's shoulders shrugging and all the other little things people do with Bollywood dancing. So it should be super fun.
This sounds like a great idea.
I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be, I think, our most high energy opening night ever. We always kick off Film by Bike with a street party because to us, it's really important to have that celebratory aspect of cycling, you know, transportation.
As opposed to like, you don't want to be like a film snob, like, yeah, we have some films about bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not good enough for this.
We're not highfalutin
that
way.
Yeah, it's more like, hey, everybody come in and everybody have a good time.
Because really, the reason so many of us are attracted to riding bikes, I think, is that openness. You're not tucked inside a car. You're on the street. You run into friends. You're more involved in the elements. So to have a street party and to be out there in the street partying together and just celebrating that summer's on its way is a super key component of the festival for us. So we're excited to we start at 5 and go until 9:30, and it's free. It's all ages. There's a beer garden, and then there's an after party inside Velo Cult.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
How late does this after party go?
Oh, they said they're just going to keep it going as long as people are there.
That's cool.
Because probably 2 a.m.
Yeah, you don't usually get to stay at Velo Cold after 10.
Right.
So, unless something cool is happening. And well, it sounds like it is.
It is. And, you know, so here's the beauty of it all. I've been in Portland since 2000. And as I got involved in the bike culture stuff, I've always thought, like, where do we go to hang out? You know, where is that place where the cyclists really feel welcome? In the early days, we would go to the Lucky Lab because on the one on Hawthorne, because there's so much room.
Oh, yeah. It's a big open space.
And you could walk in with your dripping wet rain gear and your 12 friends from some Pedalpalooza ride you did. And you could have a beer and it's affordable and you could spread out and it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And there aren't a lot of places like that. That welcome you as a dirty, wet, dripping group of people with like lots of gear and you're all bumbling around and you're undressing and, you know, that can be odd.
If you smell like a dog, you should go to a bar named after one.
Yeah. So there, you know, I always wonder why isn't there like the biker place to go, the place where that really touts itself as bike friendly.
If it had a cult following.
Yeah, exactly. So now the VeloCult's here. I feel like this is what we've needed for a long time, and it makes a lot of sense. It's such a great community gathering place, and I talk to the owners there a lot about how that is where people's bike tours often start and end,
yeah.
You know, or people go there to plan their bike tours. And so you can go in and you can meet people who are traveling. And out-of-towners are often there. Bike enthusiasts from other cities swing through. So you get a chance to talk to people who are visiting. That happens to me all the time there. I talk to visitors. And I run into people I know there all the time. And it's so cool. So one of the things I'm most excited about for Film by Bike this year is this partnership we're forming with VeloCult. It's FBB plus VC equals TLA, true love always, because it's totally a match made in heaven, and we are loving working with those guys over there. They're super creative. I mean, they have a huge list of things we have yet to see. As they gain more income from their venture and get more things figured out, they release more of these ideas. This list is long. I've never seen it. I think it's all in the owner's guy's head.
Yeah. Okay.
But the list is long, and he has tons more ideas, and we have only seen the tip of the iceberg for what VeloCult's going to bring to Portland bike culture.
Yeah.
And Film by Bike is super excited to be partnering with them because they're amazing over there. And that venue is perfect for
us. Super cool. Yeah.
So it's going to be great. And I love the idea that all weekend long people can just, oh, let's go to the movie, let's go to Film by Bike, but let's swing by VeloCult first and grab a beer, or let's go to VeloCult afterwards and talk about what we just saw, and maybe we'll meet that filmmaker who made that movie we liked. And I just think that's a really neat feature of the event.
Speaking of filmmakers, Doman has been in town for some time now, right? He's the guy from Slovenia?
Yes. Yeah. Doman is a Slovenian filmmaker who came last year to Film by Bike because he had a movie in the festival. And then this year he came back to Portland to, he loves Portland. So he came back on a visit, kind of a cultural visit for several months, and is volunteering on some projects with us for the festival. So it's like we have our own in-house filmmaker. He's super talented, professional filmmaker. His girlfriend's going to join him for Film by Bike, and then they're going to do a tour of California and New York.
Nice.
So he knows how to pack it in right. He has been crazy touring since he's been here. He's gone to the coast. He went up to Canada. He's been doing all these really great bike trips. He went to Mount Hood this past weekend.
Wow.
And it's really good for us to have one of our filmmakers so closely tied to the festival that comes from another country, because he's able to give us a really nice cultural perspective and just like a different voice to the festival that we wouldn't have otherwise. And it's been really fun having him here. So he's from Slovenia.
Which is in Europe.
In Europe. And while he's here in Portland, he's being hosted by a couple who offered to put him up for 3 months while he's here, free of charge, in their basement studio.
That's super cool.
Turns out these people are writing a book about bike touring in Slovenia.
Really?
Yeah, it's like one of these crazy Facebook connections that came together. But this guy, Tyler, is hosting Doman, and they've all gone out riding a bunch and have been having a great time. So
that's disconnected from, that's not like they're writing about Doman touring in Slovenia.
Right. They were already working on this book. And when I told Doman, he said, oh yeah, I've heard of them. They were on the Slovenian news.
Okay.
Because Slovenia is 1/10 the size of Oregon.
It's pretty small.
It's a pretty small country. So if you're writing, they've probably know more about biking in Slovenia than most Slovenians.
Right. So. They did a lot of it.
They've
I'm
done
sure.
a lot of it, yeah.
Well, that's super cool. And didn't he do most of the promo videos for you for the lead up to a Film by Bike and all the...
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, he did our really great Let's Ride festival trailer, which is presented by Orp Smart Horn. And that is just... It's a really fun piece that we put together to celebrate kind of the... feel good nature of riding a bike. You run into friends, you have a barbecue, it's a beautiful summer day, and it's just all about having a good time on your bike and nothing too serious. You know, it's just meant to really capture those really special summer moments that we have on our bikes sometimes.
Yeah.
That was a really cool trailer, by the way.
Thank you. I thought it was fun. It was really fun to put that together too. We involved some 40 real Portland cyclists riding past iconic Portland locations. It was a big production, but a lot of fun. Well, people can see it on our website. If you go to filmbybike.org.
.org.
Still working on that .com. Seriously.
Well, it's good to clarify just so that people know how to find it the first time.
We will get .com eventually. We're working
on it. Yes.
Is it that just somebody else owns it or...
Yes, we've been working on this for about 10 years now, but now we have a lawyer on the case.
Oh, okay. Because now it's it's infringement or something, right?
Yeah, because it's not being used.
Come out swinging. So. Yeah.
It's not being used.
Who are you? You're a marked person now.
Watch out. I got my eye on you.
Seriously. one thing that's kind of cool is that there are so many people that make Film by Bike happen that it's a big volunteer push. There's a lot of people doing things that aren't getting paid for it. They're just doing it because they love it. I just signed up to be the sound guy for the street party, I believe.
And I immediately sent an email to Megan Sinnott, our stage coordinator, and said, oh, you are so excited. You just got Brock as your sound guy. You don't have to worry about a thing.
I know a couple of things about sound. So.
Yeah, it's going to be great to have you there.
I'm excited about this. Yeah, but there are still a couple of positions that need to be filled. So if someone's here in town, what do they do?
So if you go to our website, filmedbybike.org, you'll see a big link at the top for volunteering. And it's a great way to get into the festival for free, get a free ticket. But it's also just a cool way to be in the heart of the action, see how this festival happens, meet some incredible people. Many of our volunteers have been volunteering with us forever.
Yeah.
So new this year as a thank you, we really feel like the fact that we're moving to this larger and very prestigious historic theater is because of the volunteers who have gotten us to where we are today. We have a marketing advisory council that's all volunteers. One of our main people involved in the festival, our stage and raffle coordinator, Megan Sinnott, she's a volunteer. I mean, all these great people who have given their support over the years. So new this year, we're offering our volunteers a commemorative pint glass.
Hey.
Just a little token of thanks because our volunteers got us to where we are to this day. So that's a little extra perk that people will get if they sign up to volunteer with us.
That'd be super cool.
And that's just for the volunteers, a nice fun little takeaway there.
So would they also go to filmbybike.org to register as a volunteer?
Yes. Okay. And you can see what's still available. Stuff's filling up, which is awesome. We've had some incredible people signing up so far. But we do still have a few slots open we'd love to get filled in the next 2 weeks.
Just a couple of pint glasses left, so get in there, people. wait. Let me do the... it's our call to action. Film by Bike is a fantastic institution. This is a thing that deserves your support. If you can't be here, you know, buy some DVDs through the online store. But if you can be here, move some things around. Take some payment. Get some tickets. Get some wristbands on people's arms. Be a volunteer at filmbybike.org.
Yeah.
So, you're also, the other thing I wanted to ask you about while you're here today is you've been doing Airbnb hosting for how long now? Like a year? Or more?
Almost a year.
Okay.
Come August, it'll be a year.
Yeah.
Feels like longer, though. Yeah.
How is that going for you?
It's great. So I started Airbnb because I go out of town periodically, and I thought, oh, I'll go out of town, and I'll rent out my extra room. But in reality, I'm often in town when my guests are here, and that was a choice because it's not weird. It turned out it wasn't weird, so I didn't feel the need to be gone when my guests are here because it's actually pretty cool to have them.
Worried about the weirdness?
Not worried about the weirdness.
Okay. But you were?
Sure.
Okay.
I live alone, so there's that. I'm a woman, there's that. But also, I'm very private, and the fact that, like, the idea of people sharing my kitchen who I don't know, that's weird.
Yeah.
But it wasn't weird, and most of my guests have blown me away with how awesome they've been. Now, I truly believe I would love to see this continue, but I do think it's part of the newness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vast majority of my guests who come stay at my place have never stayed at Airbnb before.
Oh.
So they're brand new to it all.
It's the first time for a lot of guests then as well.
Yeah. Huh. And as, you know, as things become more common, things tend to get a little weirder and people start to, you know, abuse the privileges and all that. But for now, it's awesome.
Yeah.
My guests have given me gifts, which they certainly don't need to do.
They are paying after all.
They are paying. But I've gotten records. This guy left me an incredible little, like, set of 5 records that are perfect for that little, you know, standards you should have in your collection.
Because oh, nice.
he was playing my records while he was there.
Were they, if we may ask?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
But they're standards.
They're standards.
Like,
and
if you said the titles, everyone would know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like some of those you should
like
just
Led Zeppelin
have.
4.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Huey Lewis in the News, Sports.
Sports, yes.
Yeah.
I hosted...
Like Smash Mouth's Astro Lounge.
Exactly. Everyone's cringing right now.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm cringing.
Yeah.
I hosted some lovely young Japanese men for New Year's. We celebrated New Year's together.
Oh,
that was
I think
really
I remember
cool.
you telling me about that. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it worked out really well.
Worked out great. And then the next day, my friend insisted on jumping on their enthusiasm for going on bike rides in Portland. The weather was freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend brought over an extra bike and got them on bikes. And we all went out on the town together. And I also hosted an Irishman who was super fun. I used to live in Ireland, so I have a soft spot in my heart for the Irish, especially Irishmen.
Nice.
And we went and had a fantastic night out. My friend who lived in Ireland with me and I. She lives in Portland, and we went out with this Irish guy and had a great night on the town. We went to Alberta Street Pub.
I was going
to
say, where do you take an Irish guy when he comes
we
to Portland?
We didn't take him there. He wanted to go.
Okay.
But we went and saw some Irish music from friends of his, and it's been a great experience. It's obviously a nice way to supplement my, you know, to help pay the bills. It's great. Overall, my guests are respectful. I have my system down now. It's really easy for me to host someone. Mm-hmm. My place is just always ready to go. I'm super, super messy, and this has been a great way to motivate me to stay a whole lot cleaner. Not in my bedroom.
Like, sure.
And my office is pretty terrible, too. But as far as
though.
The common spaces,
yeah.
You know, it keeps me cleaner, and it's fun. And okay, so my winning strategy, the reason my guests love my place, my dog Otis.
Oh.
And all my reviews are like, and Otis was really sweet. And I'm like, that guy knows how to work it. And I tell him, every time we have a guest, I tell him, Otis, you go work that sweetness because we need good reviews.
I'm not even a dog person, and Otis is amazingly sweet.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Otis.
Thanks. That's nice to hear. So anyway, Airbnb is great. I highly recommend it. If you want to travel and use Airbnb and you're not sure of what you think of it all, I recommend looking for places where you get the place to yourself, because often those are just like a little converted garage. It's not actually a whole house. So, you know, in your price range, it could be just a converted garage. So you get a light touches with the actual owners, but you pretty much have your own personal space. And that's a nice way to ease into it if you're kind of like got the creeps about staying with strangers. But from what I've seen, I mean, you can read the reviews and know what you're getting into, and you'll know right away if someone's a creepo based on the reviews, because people are pretty honest.
Right.
I mean, people do tend to say nicer things than they need to. I think people leave me really great reviews that I don't deserve sometimes. They're like, the house is so perfectly clean. I'm like, no, it's not. But okay, you could say that. But the people that I've talked to, other hosts, and everyone just seems to be doing it because, you know, everyone's just trying to pay the bills and live an interesting life and meet other interesting people along the way. So I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, I remember, too, when the Airbnb thing first came out, I was like, why would you do that? There's couch surfing. But there really is, like, there's something to be said for, like, sometimes the couch surfing experience is the couch surfing experience, because it's like nobody's paying for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so feelings get hurt and it's not reciprocal. And like, you know, you have a guest that like trashes your room or whatever. And then you're like, well, I guess I'm not doing couch surfing anymore. And there's some sort of the psychology of when you pay for something, even if it's like not very much, like you pay, say, $2 for the privilege of something, like it means something to you because you had that exchange. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's kind of the value of Airbnb, is that you're offering, you know, it's far more affordable than staying in a hotel. But yeah,
you're in like some sort of social contract with
right.
that person.
Yeah. 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 There's like, it's like added benefit for both parties to be nice. So yeah, I think that's great.
And I've met So many people that stay with me, it's clear they are staying with me because they want a more personal experience. They don't want to be in a hotel. Mm-hmm. It's not because of the kitchen. Most of them don't even use the kitchen.
Yeah.
Maybe they think they're going to use the kitchen, but then they don't wind up using it. And one was a couple whose daughter lived down the street and they were visiting their daughter and she didn't have room for them. So they stayed with me and then they could be right down the street from their daughter. And that was great. They used the kitchen. They made an ice cream cake for the boyfriend's birthday.
Nice.
That was pretty awesome. So, you know, you just never know who you're going to get. But for the most part, they're pretty cool people. And a lot of them staying with me are visiting Portland because they think they might want to move here.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
So kind of testing
you're kind
it out.
Of like an ambassador.
I do promote myself as an ambassador because I love Portland. I love to tell people about it. I would say 70%, 50% of my guests are visiting because they're considering moving to Portland.
Would you say 70% to 50% of the people who have moved here are because of your ambassadorship?
I think that might be a stretch in the statistics, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, and there's no better bikey initiator to Portland than Aileen.
I do, sure. And I do offer a couple bikes that they can borrow while they're staying with me. They're really fun little, just like junky little, cute mixty, and this old vintage Huffy, and they're what I call my dog walking bikes. Like the bike I cruise around the neighborhood with late at night when I'm walking my dog, and so they can ride those around, and I encourage all my guests to ride a bike when they come. I have a whole biking guide to Portland for them, and I tell them, you know, this is what we do here. If you really want to get a flavor of Portland, this is what you should do. Hop on a bike, even if you don't go far. I live in the Woodlawn neighborhood, so just go down to Deakum Street, do a little bar crawl, because we can do that in Woodlawn now. We have a ton of great establishments.
There's a couple of cute spots there.
Yeah. High Wheel, Fizzy Wine.
Wait, is that a thing?
I don't know, but High Wheel is this newish bar in Woodlawn that serves fizzy wine that's delightful.
Oh, nice.
And mead, and they're connected to Tamale Boys, so you can get fresh tamales and guacamole also. Mm. It's my new favorite bar.
I think we did that in unison.
Yeah, we did, didn't
we're both imagining the good taste of tamales.
Yeah, so I mean, these are the kinds of things, you know, when you're a standard tourist, you don't necessarily get to hear about these kinds
right.
of things.
Yeah.
But when you stay with an Airbnb, you tend to get those little nooks and crannies and insider tips. So yeah. It's fun.
And if, like you were saying, if you're ever out of town, it's like you're not using your house. So, you know,
right.
why not expand that to trustable people who will pay for part of your rent while you're gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, and if you're interested in doing it, now is the time, because like I said, who knows what it's going to be like in the future when lots of people are using the system. But right now, the people using it are super respectful and nice from what I've seen.
Right, right.
From my experience. Mm-hmm.
Was it difficult to hop through the hoops? I know not everybody has to hop through hoops, but here in Portland, you do have to be certified or something like that, right?
Yeah, so. You do have to register with the city, but a lot of people don't. I don't know what the enforcement mechanism is.
Okay.
I chose to do that, even though I generally love to skirt rules and not pay for things that I don't have to think I don't have to pay for.
Yeah.
I believe in the sharing economy, and I want to see this happen. I wanted to be on the up and up with it because I truly believe that this is the future. Sharing our cars, sharing our houses, sharing our garden plots, whatever it is. I think sharing resources as we densify as a city, I don't want us to sprawl out.
Right.
Us get denser. And I like that people are moving here. I've met some great people who have moved here recently, and I have good friends that way. But I want to be a part of that sharing of resources economy. It's benefiting me. It's benefiting other people. So I decided to register with the city. It was super easy process. I did have to pay some money, but regardless, I was still having to pay taxes because Airbnb does that automatically
right.
after you make a certain amount. So it's not like
so
I
you
was,
might as well, really.
Yeah, yeah, you may as well. Like, you pay your little money. This woman comes and like makes sure you have the right smoke detector installed. And that was about it. She
An
was
emergency
in and out
egress.
In 10 minutes. Yeah, yeah. It was super easy.
And your house isn't a dump. I've been there.
Thank you.
I know it's in good repair. So it's like it's not hard
really
for...
They didn't even review for that.
Yeah.
That was the interesting thing. They didn't like test anything other than the smoke detector.
There you go.
Anyway. So yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
Excellent. Congratulations. I hope it continues to work out well for you.
Thanks.
We should do some headlines, shouldn't we?
I suppose we should.
All right. We got some news. You got time to hang out with us for news?
Absolutely. I still
Excellent.
Have
got
a little more than half of my lawfully beer here.
So. You have so much time. Okay. Here come the headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike.
All right. First off, from Oregon Live, ULOC Justice comes to Portland streets.
Danger, danger.
Yeah. And I'm not going to read that whole article. We could just link it.
Yeah. And just to mention that, yeah, there was an altercation between a tall biker and a BMW driver. It's like the stereotypical users of both modes or something like that.
It's the like,
most contentious.
It's like the worst of both worlds, like in the minds of each.
Yes.
Like someone so ensconced in car culture would say, like, the worst of the cyclists are those tall bikers.
And yeah.
I would imagine someone, I would include myself, like, ensconced in, like, bike culture would probably be like, the worst of all drivers are those, like, uppity BMW drivers.
Right, right.
Whatever. And, like, you know, all of that is just, you know, mindsets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway.
And so our friend David did have the misfortune, perhaps, to be swept up into this whole
thing. Caught in the middle of the whole thing.
Yeah. Trying to do the right thing when both parties were a little bit aggravated and a little bit kind of a-holes, I guess.
Yeah. I'm not going to condone what happened, certainly.
The tossing of a U-lock onto a BMW?
Onto a car. The tossing of a U-lock.
Right.
Was it
anybody.
A tossing? Just tossed it?
Well, and so this
the throne,
is,
I guess, would be in the news, that's how it was described.
Right.
Seems delicate.
It does. It's kind of a dink. Here's what I think of your BMW.
Dink.
Commit or don't commit. Are you throwing your U-lock or not?
I have
not?
10 of them. I'll throw it again. Dink.
It was just a polite one.
Dink.
I don't know. Like, yeah, there's...
Here's three more. Dink, dink, dink.
There's not a lot of description.
Right.
And I'll come right out and say there was not a lot of good reporting on this either. This was all done secondhand.
Right. Well, let me tell you, the best reporting apparently was from our friend David on Facebook. And I don't know. Did you say it was shared on Bike Portland?
It was shared on Bike Portland.
That guy had a fantastic description of his involvement.
I didn't put that
thing
in our headlines just because I knew we would be talking about this anyways.
Right, right.
What bugs me is our newspaper pretends to have a bike-friendly commuter editor.
Okay.
And
pretends to, you say?
He's written a couple good articles that I could really get behind, but by and large, there's very much a car-centric attitude towards in the way that he writes.
Okay.
When there's articles like the war on cars, you know, or altercations or bike rage on the Hawthorne Bridge.
So it's possible that his viewpoints are more representative of those who drive vehicles than those who ride bikes or something like that.
They're at least skewed towards that end, in my opinion.
Was some great coverage of when that car flipped onto the Max tracks at sunset.
Oh, yeah.
Like off of the freeway.
That's right, yeah.
But that was also sensational, which...
And that's,
forgive me for
yes
saying, I think that's how traditional journalism tends to make its money. So
that's, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But
you don't have to back us on any of these things, Aileen. You don't have to be.
No,
you can
I'm
stay
with
neutral.
You. It's also the headline writers. You got to put some blame on the headline writers,
right,
because they are the
which
ones,
isn't also the people who write.
Yeah, yeah. They are often sensationalizing.
Yeah.
And sometimes they work in terrible puns.
And it's their bosses who are telling them to
right
do that. So.
Right.
But anyways, Tony Jordan on Twitter shared he edited out the ULOC and put in
a
UFO.
You're right. Yes.
It's like, and
whoa,
shared Portland cyclist photograph in bewilderment of nearby UFO.
Yeah.
To which then my bike, who is on Twitter, decided to say,
your bike is on Twitter, isn't it?
This is the story Joseph Rose should have written. Hashtag credibility.
Right.
Hashtag journalism is dead.
I toss my UFO in your general direction.
What is this
lately
thing?
Tossing.
And then a couple days later.
Well, the whole thing is just a big farce. Like, you might as well just write about something as absurd as like a UFO in the middle of the day in the middle of the street.
Like that would be as believable as
that would be
sensationalism.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you. With all of the sensationalism, the subject matter becomes secondhand.
Right. Right.
But anyways, Joseph Rose wrote me back.
He said,
or wrote my bike back, mm-hmm, and said he loved the idea.
I like how you're just still kind of hiding behind this Twitter profile.
Despite what you might think, addressing road rage is part of transportation journalism. cheers. To which my
civil
bike,
enough.
My bike wrote back that she agrees. So address it. People on bikes are harassed, threatened, and endangered much more and with more risk to harm. To which he wrote, and he's written repeatedly, or I've written repeatedly, Joseph says, but when it comes to road users hucking metal at each other, I'm mode agnostic.
Which is a fancy way of saying he doesn't care who's throwing metal at who.
Right, and it's a way of saying, like, I'm not anti-bike or anti-car. I'm going to stay neutral.
Not a strong stance in either direction.
To which my bike replied, I'm not convinced but willing to be proved wrong. And then in addition, but as far as road users hucking metal at each other.
And this is my favorite part.
You can visit Clinton or Division Streets. That metal is called a car.
Yep.
Because in our experience, thank you.
Yeah.
In our experience, and I could even back this up with my experience today, the road users who are more harassing, and certainly they're wielding a more dangerous vehicle than a bicycle, are the ones driving.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going to condone throwing anything at anybody, really, but encroaching on a bike lane on purpose, or honking, or yelling out from your car to people on bikes is very startling, for one, and can cause a lot of harm. You startle someone, you know, at just the wrong time, they could end up losing their balance, falling into the lane, or falling on, like, onto the curb. You know, even if it's not involving the car. Or automobiles in question, you know, they're still at much more risk of bodily harm.
Sure. Yeah. Things get ugly quickly.
Yeah. And so, again, not condoning the whole ULOC thing, but I honestly believe there's this air of when someone is harassed on their bike or yelled at or honked at or, you know, again, like a car encroaching on the bike lane, you know, to kind of like give this threatening gesture. That's just everyday thing. Yeah. Well, that's the risk of biking. That's biking in the city. But again, a ULOC tossed.
Dink.
Dink. And I don't know how exactly it was gone, but
we don't know. But this is our approximation.
This is how I read it.
How many times?
I don't know. As far as I know, the ULAC threw itself.
Oh, really. Yes. Well, I that was the thing that David put up. I think he said, I want to believe. And it was just a picture of a ULAC.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But what's that going to do? That's going to dent their hood. That might break the windshield or crack it. The risk of bodily harm to a road user in a car is much, much less. But gets way more sensationalism and way more attention than those who are harassed on bikes.
Right.
Or,
and this is a thing.
Or
that,
on foot.
Mm-hmm. Things that happen.
I got really fired up for
you
a
did.
Second there, didn't
you
I?
Did. Yeah. Well, this
is
a good
heat
thing, right?
Going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way,
you're taking off your sweater now.
Oh, man. He's stripping off layers, folks. I wish you could see this right now. Yeah. Might come off. I don't know.
Is it hot in here?
Well, it does say VC on your cap, which stands for Velocold. And Velocold is very hot right now.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's a hot thing.
I was just going to say that, what is it, Pedal Hub, the podcast out of Minneapolis and St. Paul.
They did a ULOC Justice.
They talked about
episode.
ULOC Justice because that was a comedic thing that they'd done for a long
condemning.
Time. Well, and then talking about how, like really, we're not in favor. Like, it's funny to joke about, hey, I'm going to bash somebody in with a ULOC or something like that. You know, like, I will break their windows. But in reality, everyone could stand to be a lot nicer on the roads. And I think that's the world we all would like to see, is a place where everyone kind of respects their right to be there. You know, I would say I think there's a great way to be on the road, and it's usually not involving, you know, a combustion engine. But no matter what your mode is, to be truly mode agnostic, I would say that you want to be you want to be a nice person when you're dealing with other people on the streets. This is not about bikes, not about cars.
Yeah.
It's about people.
I can't be mode agnostic. I'll go out and say, like, and be clear. I cannot be mode agnostic. Fine, but I'm definitely people first.
Yes, I'm people agnostic.
And you got to know what your tools are.
You do.
A lot of people don't realize how dangerous a vehicle is when it bumps into something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they forget that because we travel in them. It's so commonplace to travel in them. It's like, oh, I will wield my paper sword at you or point a gun. Very different things. A little U-lock or a huge vehicle. Like, very different things.
But, yes, in the mind of somebody who's in the midst of their rage, that paper sword or that gun, there's no difference.
Right.
And, so there's a lot of people waving paper swords around.
Well, they think they're waving a paper sword.
Right,
but in
right.
In reality, it's a gun.
It's a gun, right.
Yeah.
Good point. Good point.
Thank you.
And should we should probably wrap up and get to our mail soon.
Oh,
but,
shit.
Also, we got this
we
other
got
article.
Another headline
we got so excited, so worked up about this whole thing. And maybe it's good just to state again for everyone. We're not saying that violence is the answer. Violence is not the answer.
Unless you're asking what is not the answer.
Then
violence is the answer.
Yes. That's how that works semantically. But yes, we're just I think, again, the solution is that everyone could chill a lot.
Yeah.
Take some bike Prozac and be okay.
Take off your sweater.
Yeah.
Eat a snack.
That's right. Relax a little bit. Slip into something more comfortable.
Yeah.
So, lastly.
Lastly, noted lawyer Ray Thomas, this is from Bike Portland, by the way, opposes the bill that would mandate rear bike lights.
Why could anybody hate rear bike lights?
Why do people hate freedom so much?
Why wouldn't we want that law?
When Oregon House Representative John Davis proposed making reflective clothing mandatory while bicycling, many people understandably scoffed at the idea.
Yeah.
Davis's clothing idea quickly morphed into Bill HB 3255 that would mandate rear lights on all bicycles. Current law calls only for a rear reflector. This seems like a good idea at first glance, but Portland-based lawyer and bike law expert Ray Thomas opposes it. And here are the sort of the points that are the important points of this article. If Oregonians are hit by a careless driver, HB 3255 would provide full legal defense to the driver, even though the riders had more than adequate rear reflectors already required by Oregon and federal law.
Right now, you get hit from behind, driver's fault. In the future where this law passes, you get hit from behind, you don't have a light, your fault.
Mm.
So a little victim blaming?
Why it could be.
Interesting.
HB 3255 is a bad idea because it heightens Oregon's requirements of bicycle riders such that it makes all bikes illegal to ride that are presently in a legal state of trim with a white front light or with a white light in the front.
Suddenly a bunch of illegal bikes.
Yeah. Mm. I skipped over the first point. Every person and child riding a bike bought from their local bike shop at Fred Meyer's.
Or your local Kroger
or
brand.
Or your local Kroger affiliate would soon be in violation of the law if they rode that bike at dusk in their neighborhood.
As many do.
So say you didn't even necessarily like buy a bike for travel. You just bought one for your kid to ride up and down the street. They're riding it and it's dusk. Suddenly that bike is actually illegal before it leaves the shop. But if you're riding it, if the kid is riding it up and down, suddenly that kid is now against the law.
Can I read the summary here, which I think is great?
Yeah, that's where I was going.
What is being confused here is the difference between what is a preferred safe riding practice, having a light on, and the legal minimum necessary to ride lawfully at night. Because who hasn't forgotten their batteries and we let them go uncharged or something like that?
Right.
Suddenly illegal.
Well, So there's a number of bike lights, rear lights. Mine, for example, if the battery dies on mine, there's a reflector.
It's still a reflector. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it would still be within, legality.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I get his point. I think it's a lot of people would say, oh yeah, why shouldn't they have taillights legally required? And taillights are fantastic, but it does present a lot of those issues.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you may not. You may not be, sort of one of these bike firsts or whatever, bike is your only vehicle. You just might happened to be out for a day ride and just got caught at dusk.
Right.
You know,
as many do.
It happens. Yeah.
Aileen, have you ever been caught without a tail light at night?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, your batteries are running lower than you realize. That's why I'm a big fan of USB because it makes it more likely to charge on the go. Yeah. But it's just more barriers to cycling. And I'm not a fan of mandating safety. I think it should be a choice.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Helmets, seatbelts.
Well put.
Everything. I mean, it should be up to us to keep ourselves safe. We can't put bumpers on everybody and protect them through their entire lives. That's just unrealistic.
Well, yeah, it brings up a question of education versus legislation, really. Mm-hmm.
Ah, it's kind of like morality.
Well, and I find that the more people ride, the more comfortable they feel on the road, the more confident they are, the more they want to invest in their setup.
Definitely.
They, you know, when you start riding, you
take
on
Mr.
The,
Flores as an example.
Yeah, you get on the road and you're like, I don't know where I'm going. You ride all crazy. You swerve in and out. You're like, I don't know. I'm just figuring this stuff out. But then later on, you're like, no, I'm going to do this right. I belong here. I have a right to the road. But that is an advanced way of approaching riding a bike. Mm-hmm. That's a mature way that not everybody is at in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Certainly. You know, you don't necessarily always put a dyno hub on every bike,
right?
Because every bike isn't necessarily going to need that
because you can't afford it.
Or yeah, yeah. I mean, again, more barriers to biking. But as somebody is biking more and more, and they realize, like, why don't I just have an electrical generator on my bike? I'm going to need lights eventually.
I had this little magnetic one that I never got it on quite right, but I feel like there's potential there because it was magnetically charged and it would blink every time the magnet went by. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that could be more commonplace installed on bikes. But they take a lot of tweaking to get them lined up just right. And there's got to be a better way.
The resistance, I'm sure it's energized by the polarity resistance, right?
Yeah, but it's
and
a good concept.
So they have to hit each other at just the right angle.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's kind of the answer to a built-in light that doesn't need charging, that's not as expensive as a dyno, and something in between.
We should legally mandate those.
Oh, my God.
I just
damn
kid.
It.
I kid.
Ha, ha, ha.
All right. Why don't we go to our mail, shall we?
We got mail.
First off, thank you to new donor John Wasserman. He just he calls us on his email or something, on Twitter, I think he said, all caps, great non-racing podcast. Apparently, we are the only hope for people who want to listen to talk about bikes.
In other news, Aaron joins the Tour de France.
Yeah.
No, wait, the Giro. I like that one better.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. it's good to have John on board.
Thank you very much.
Yes, we really appreciate that. Every time someone gives us a monthly donation, it helps us structure our budget so that we can do cool things. And maybe you and I could even have some walking around money when this is all said and done.
So, I like money to walk around.
I do too.
I really wish they would take the tolls off the sidewalks, though.
Indeed, yeah.
Ba-dum-ba.
Yeah. Let me do this for you too. I was just going to say that we have a new $10 reward. So everyone who does a $10 monthly and existing donors who are doing at least $10 per month now will get one of these. But I'm going to start making like little micro videos, like 2 or 3 minutes at most, of favorite Portland locations. So I'll just do like a video selfie talking about a cool place that I like.
Ooh,
like,
that's fun.
Yeah. So if you want that, you can get that. That's coming up. And if I can rope Aaron into it, Aaron's going to do it too.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I would do it. I love talking about places I love.
Excellent. And you get to choose one. Like if you're the donor and you're like, hey, make me a video. If you have a place you want to know about or a place you like, you can have me talk about it. Or you can have anybody talk about it. Apparently, we can have Aileen talk about it, too.
Or something you heard of.
We're going to rope you into this.
I don't care. I love that idea.
Actually, this would be funny. Like, here's my $10. Go find this in Portland.
Yeah, yeah. Or like Voodoo Donut, like the explanation of why it used to be cool and now it's just a tourist attraction.
Everything went downhill when they stopped making the NyQuil donut.
I know, yes. That and what was the, was it DayQuil with the mango I forget. Anyways, there was some, yeah. They're no longer, they were never legal.
No, they weren't.
Pro tip.
Hot pro tip. No waiting in line for Voodoo Donuts when you go to the Voodoo Donuts truck at Sunday Parkways.
Yes. Or I believe it usually lives at Cartlandia on 82nd and the Springwater Corridor.
And probably so, no waiting in line there either.
Right. Yeah. That is a very distinct possibility. Mm-hmm. A friend sent me a link to The Rayway. It's a book on tarp camping. Ray Jardine, he's a big old advocate of tarps. So got a link to that. Jim found a story about the organic transit elf on NPR. It was a fantastic produced segment. I listened to the whole thing. And we reviewed the elf not too long ago. And I saw one at Sunday Parkways on Sunday. It was a big orange two-seater.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it
was great.
I saw that too.
Like side by side?
Tandem.
Tandem,
yeah,
okay.
So one person behind the other.
Oh, cool.
So you have one person riding and one person driving.
Huh.
So it was pretty great. Sebastian and Steve met author Carlton Reed when he was touring. He wrote a book about the bike boom, like we talked about with Anna's mom the other week. Boom. Yeah. I don't have a boom sound effect. But it's at bikeboom.info. So that looks like a fantastic book. And if we ever get in the same place with this guy, same room or same campsite or whatever, we should talk to him. So they're lucky, anyways, to have seen him. Jeremy from Boston comments on wheel tacos and damned bus lines. Another more common way for a taco to be made, he says, is when you park your bike close to the curb and cars hit it while parallel parking. I see this all the time. And in Boston, no joke, a lot of tacoed wheels. People leave their bikes like tied up over the winter or whatever, and your bike's hitting a snowdrift, car parallel parks, and then all of a sudden, boom, taco.
Huh.
So... transit trivia. You had a donation of $6.66 here in Boston, our fifth busiest bus route, one of the worst in terms of bunching, which is when buses get all packed together, is Route 66. Internally, each route and variation has a slightly different path on some trips, has a unique ID such as 51.7, 57.2, etc. The main ID for Route 66 is 66.6, and I don't think it's a coincidence. Josh G. found a backwards steering bike, and it made him think of boat month because on a little boat, you know, you push the rudder one way and you go the opposite. So kind of like that. So boat month, still happening. I was thinking we should have like either a goat month or a moat month, or like we just keep on going. Choose a new one.
I don't know.
But then we'd have to find a bunch of goats or a bunch of moats. And
I can only think of one goat.
Or
not one singular goat.
There's only
as
one
far
goat
as like a goat
in all of Portland.
Farm in Portland.
Only one goat.
There's only one. We share the goat in Portland.
Krista, employee at the Beer Mongers, shares a Scottish traffic calming idea. Wiggly lines. Apparently it didn't work out so well. But it was something that people tried. So they took the center line and instead of making
it
go straight,
they
made it look wiggly when they painted on the ground, and that was to, I think it was to approximate the, like hills, like what it would look like if you were going to ride through a really hilly, bumpy segment.
Okay.
And that the visual effect was supposed to slow drivers down. At some point, I think they said, this isn't working. But anyways, it was a thought. So Eric found a DIY wind-powered USB charger designed to be mounted to a bike. The kid that designed it was 16.
I saw that thing.
Yeah. So he took like an old computer, like
a fan.
That would cool a CPU, and he like reverse engineered the circuits so that like the fan, you know, when it blows attached to your handlebars, it generates electricity that goes into your phone. He was just tired of, you know, Instagramming all day and running out of energy. So now he can Instagram all day and all night. Legally mandate that. Sons of bitches. And then Scott sends us a bike rack mega win. It's a beautiful trike with a basket. Baskets on front and back.
And back, yeah.
He said he would have secured it more securely, but it is U-locked, I believe. Anyways.
I like the rack there.
Totally.
It's the half or three-quarter circles.
Yeah. And Alien, I don't know if you can see this or not, but that's...
Yeah. Nice.
It's a cute trike. I would like a trike someday.
That's what I'm when I can no longer stabilize on my bike, when I'm of the age where it just doesn't feel comfortable to get on and off.
That'll be your thing.
I'm going to have one of those to get around the neighborhood at least.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it'd be super fun. And then I'm okay with a recumbent if, you know, it comes down to that. But that would be my neighborhood bike right there. Love those little guys.
A good grocery getter,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
We got
physical
James
mail.
Longhurst. His press agent sent us a copy of his book, Bike Battles, A History of Sharing the American Road. So we're going to give that a read, and hopefully when he's in town, we can connect with him. And then where did I put Oh, there's the envelope. Thank you. Going to find out. Yes, it's from Andre. Andre in Wisconsin says, you mentioned in an earlier podcast you could use a couple more bucks a month to meet the bills. And just for full transparency, we are now in the black. But we would like to do this as a job. So thank you so much, Andre. He says, here's for this year. The extra buck is for postage if you send stickers. And we will send stickers to Andre. So that's coming up.
Nice.
Anyways, thank you, Andre, very much. We really appreciate that. And again, if you donate at various levels monthly, that helps us plan for our future, and we give you things like stickers and Portland-y care packages and that sort of thing. So, hey, let's do this. It's been a good one.
Wow, we've reached the end of all things.
Yeah, of everything, except for filmbybike.org.
Which has yet started.
That's right. Not yet started.
Aileen, is there anything else you wanted to say before we wrap up?
So Film by Bike, the big festival happens here in Portland. Our movies come from all around the world and our collections travel all around the world. So if you are listening and you don't live in Portland and you want to bring Film by Bike to your city, get in touch with us and ask us how we can get Film by Bike to where you live and ride at filmedbybike.org. We'd love to bring Film by Bike to where you are.
So like if somebody, say in Edmonton, Canada,
yep,
wanted to have a screening of Film by Bike.
Edmonton.
That could happen.
Yes.
Maybe if they were,
there you go. Yeah. I was going to take the long way around. Never mind.
Hashtags, shortcuts.
Coming up, Calgary, the Philippines.
Ooh, Calgary.
Oh, for real.
That's close to Yag
Hong
Bike.
Kong.
Beautiful.
Duluth. We were just in Duluth
last
week.
Nice. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Filmedbybike.org.
Yes.
All right. Well, hey, let's wrap this whole show up.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email sprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan Gillian for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors.
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood.
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Nose.
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster.
Caleb Jenkins and JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt.
Patrick R. Chain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole.
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson.
Drew the Welder, Anna Krista Sukas, and John Wasserman.
All right, everybody, brush your teeth and go to bed. You know what? I failed to clarify. Which one did we do last week?
I thought we were doing number two today.
We're doing two? Okay, yeah. Excellent. Sorry, let me start
That's
over.
All right.
Give me just like a minute because I had something really compelling that I wanted to share. And I'm sure if I sit here with all of us in silence, it'll come to me.
No pressure.
No, it's... Yeah.
Did you have to make underwear again?
No.
I doubt you shit yourself more than the average.
Do you doubt that?
I don't know. I realized as I said that.
Because I get the sense that you don't.
I have no idea.
Have you said anything that you would hate to have shared?
Not at this point.
Okay, excellent.
I'll keep it.
Pro tip. Okay.
That's what I should say. I always say hot tip and people tell me it's weird because it is.
But it's not necessarily weird.
Pro tip. That's much better.
And you're listening to Open Roads Broadcasting. Is that right?